All right. Good evening, all. It's glad you can make it tonight. Please be in prayer for Pastor as he's travelling currently. And I'm your replacement tonight, unfortunately for you. So Genesis chapter 12, if you turn there, please. Just recently, I heard a message on Lot in the Bible, and it really made me dig a bit deeper and start studying his life a little bit more, and some stuff that I got from that I want to share with you tonight. Genesis chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I pray, Father, you'd help us as we look at your word. Help me, I pray, as I try and share what you've given me. I pray that you'd just be the center of all that happens, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's much we can learn from the life of Lot in the Bible. He's mentioned several times, mostly in Genesis, but also in the New Testament. And tonight I've titled the message, A Soul Saved, But a Life Wasted. So as we read here, Lot was Abram's nephew, and he, along with his uncle, Uncle Abraham, he seemingly believed God enough to uproot and to take everything that he had and follow his uncle as he was led by God. What we do know for sure is that by the time Lot lived in Sodom, he was a saved man. It says in 2 Peter 2:8, for that righteous man dwelling among them. So he was saved when he lived in Sodom. I dare say his faith was proved when he followed his uncle, so I think early on he was probably a believer in God. And as we skim over Lot's life as outlined in the Bible, I just want to take a few parts of it and expand them into some points. I've got 4 points for tonight that we can hopefully take away from and learn a bit from, because that's, after all, that's why we have all this in our Old Testament, is to learn from. So before we move on, we'll jump to the New Testament. If you go across to 2 Peter chapter 2, but before he's mentioned in 2 Peter, Jesus uses Lot's wife as an example of how not to act when confronted with the choice of following the things of God or turning back and revealing where your heart truly lies. In Luke 17:32, Jesus tells his followers to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife's heart was truly revealed when they were being rescued from the destruction of Sodom, and she wished for all that was back there, and that's where her heart was. Her life was deeply rooted in Sodom. But if you have a look in 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read from verses 4 to 9, because this is an important insight into Lot. And we read here that God knows how to deliver his people out of temptations and also judgment, which is reserved for the wicked and the unsaved. This passage, as I just said, gives us good insight into Lot's spiritual condition. From verse 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So this passage, it leads me on to my first point tonight, which is don't expect as a saved person to be able to live peacefully out of the will of God. So the point of reading this New Testament passage, it shows us clearly that Lot was just, he was righteous, and he's actually called godly in verse 9. And this is before God. Yes, Lot made foolish choices, and yes, he paid greatly for those choices. But the Bible clearly states Lot was a saved man, but Lot was a tormented saved man. Where the Bible uses the word vexed to describe Lot's condition, it's the same root word that is used in the Bible that describes the disciples when they were in fear, when they toiled on the waves, when Jesus came to them walking on the water. It's the same word that's used to describe the condition of people that were possessed by devils right before Jesus would set them free. These people were so vexed that they were trying to end their torments by casting themselves into a fire. It's the same word that is used in Luke 16 when the rich man was in hell and begged Abraham to help him as he was tormented. It's the same word. It's this word vexed. The word vexed is a very powerful word, and we must heed the warnings of God's word. This word vexed in Lot's case shows us he was a tormented child of God living outside the will of God. When a truly born-again person is living outside the will of God here on earth, they will suffer this vexation. And it's truly the mercy of God because it's trying to draw you back into fellowship with him. When we think about Lot, I could just think and, you know, as I was thinking, what would he be vexed about? And he was vexed as he saw uncontrollable evil acts take place right outside his own door. Lot would have been vexed as he saw his daughters fall in love and marry heathen sodomite men. Lot was vexed as he would have seen his wife's heart being drawn into the things of Sodom to the point where she couldn't leave them. And Lot would have been vexed, no doubt, when he would have thought back to Uncle Abraham living separated from the worldly cities around him, living in a tent on the plains, but having sweet fellowship with the true God. And Lot used to be part of that. This would have vexed his soul. The same will happen for you if you are truly saved, if you're truly born again, but you're living your life in a backslidden state. You, like David, you'll lose that joy of your salvation. Like Lot, you will be living in vex, in sin, as you know it's severely limiting your fellowship with the Father and also with other saved brethren. If you turn back to Genesis now, back to chapter 12, we'll look at the next point I want to make taken from the life of Lot. So there's only three more points, so it's not going to be super long, but I think there's a wealth of information here, so I really encourage you to look at Lot's life and study yourself because there's heaps you can learn. So verse 4 from Genesis 12. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Go to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And the next point I've got here is your godly family can't prevent you from making foolish choices. There is no doubt that Uncle Abraham was a very godly man. There is no doubt that he had great favour with God and was greatly blessed. He's remembered as the father of the faith, and he's mentioned in numerous passages throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Lot was blessed with this godly example, and seemingly Lot piggybacked on these blessings, and he also grew in favour with God. He grew in wealth, he grew in servants and everything else like that. God blessed Lot with a wife and at least four daughters as well. But even these blessings of God in his life, and having a godly example that very few will ever witness, we will see that when push came to shove, Lot did not choose wisely. And he followed his eyes and the world and did not follow the example of his uncle, who always put God first. Let's look at chapter 13. I'll read from verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We see here that Lot chose ease over hardship. He chose the green pastures over the slim pickings. He chose to dwell with wickedness rather than separation unto God. The world is picked over serving God because of its temporal hardship. And today it's like this for us. What will you pick when you have the choice of following the world when it's in its apparent ease, or sticking with the faith even though it's going to be tough? Young people, you're going to get your license soon enough. Will you still be faithful to God and His church when you have the choice? Will you still be faithful to God's will when you know He has called you, but a secular opportunity comes knocking? Will you be faithful to separate yourself from sinners, even though you're going to stand out like a sore thumb? Lot didn't, and it cost him dearly. Having a strong Christian heritage was not enough for Lot to make the right choice. Now, what this strong Christian heritage gave him was clarity. He knew exactly what was right and wrong. But what Lot didn't have was the backbone to do right. He chose the easy way. The strength that comes from your own walk with God is what you need. And that strength will not automatically pass down from mum or dad. It won't come from your older siblings or other people in church. It's not going to come from pastor. You must have a strong personal walk with the Lord to have any chance of making the right decisions when it's hard and when you enter the world under the umbrella of the protection of your family. Don't be like Lot and choose with your eyes. Make sure you have a strong grounding in your own life that you've studied, that you've prayed, that you've built up from your own lookings and gleanings of God's word yourself. Otherwise, you're bound to make the wrong choice when the time comes. Third point I want to make is you will have more effect in saving the lost when you live a separated life. Abraham chose the opposite of Lot. He chose to stay in the will of God, separated from the sin and the wickedness that Lot chose to attach himself to. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and what we'll do is we'll see a glimpse at the heart of Abraham, and then we'll see the results of that choice. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll turn to verse 8, it says there, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The city that Lot chose was one that he could see with his own eyes here on earth. The one that Abraham chose was that spiritual city that in faith he believed God was the center of. We have the same choice today. Are you going to choose to remain faithful to God and the things of God, or are you going to jump into the world as soon as you got the opportunity to? We can choose to pursue what we see in this world, and we can try to get what we can. We can choose to pursue what we see in this world and try to get what we can however we can get it, or we can choose the Lord's will, which will require us to live separate lives. We are commanded to be separate from this world, even though we have to live in it, but we don't have to do what they do while we're here. Genesis 13:12 says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Abraham chose to be separated from Sodom, and Lot chose to dwell in those cities around Sodom, and eventually he lived in Sodom itself. When you choose to live in this world, you'll be sucked further and further in. That's why active separation is so important. Now we'll see who came actually closest to saving Sodom. Was it Lot that God used to preach to Sodom, like Jonah preached to Nineveh and changed their hearts? Even though his soul was vexed and he was righteous, it didn't seem to move him to preach against the sin that he found outside his very door. Even though he stood out as a righteous man in the wicked city, that did not help that city get closer to God and be spared from the judgment. He was ineffective living as one of them in trying to bring them to God and spare them from destruction. The one who came closest to seeing Sodom spared was the one who was dwelling separated in a tent looking for another spiritual city. The one who was talking with God and communing with him. The one who chose the hardships of separation over the ease of living in the city of Sodom. Abraham was the one who prayed with God. And God is actually the one who talked with Abraham about saving Sodom. It wasn't Lot. Abraham almost saved Sodom. He almost delivered Sodom by talking with God and communing with God. If you turn to Genesis chapter 18, we'll look at that story. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and I'll see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous men within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? I find it's amazing that Abraham gets to bargain with God so openly like this. And you read on, he bargains for 45, then he bargains for 40, then he bargains for 30, bargains for 20. And by the end of it, he gets to 10. By we get to verse 32, Abraham's bargained all the way down to 10. And God says, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And then it says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. I think at that point there, Abraham must have thought, 10, I've got it secured. We've got Lot, we've got his wife, we've got his four daughters, four sons or boyfriends, whatever, 10, we've got this wrapped up. But there was not even 10 people, 10 righteous people in Sodom. Abraham thought surely that Lot and his wife had made some impact in the city of Sodom. Perhaps had influenced 8 others, but they had not. In fact, when Lot desperately went to his family to tell them about the destruction about to come, they thought he was mocking them. Okay, so little was his testimony that when he did try and tell them, they laughed at him. And Lot's own wife revealed her heart. Lot's own wife revealed her heart when they fled. She turned back, looking, longing after the things that had been left behind. No doubt her anguish for her daughters that she knew had been left behind. Everything that had been left behind was what was on Lot's wife's heart. She's an example to us, and Lot is an example to us that you lose far more than you gain when you choose the world over the will of the God. You'll have more effect in saving the lost if you live a separated life like Abraham was. And the reason is because you're in obedience and God can use you when you're living a life of obedience. Finally, you will have catastrophic losses in this life and the life to follow if you choose the world over God. Go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Lot escapes the destruction of Sodom with the clothes on his back and two of his daughters. We know he didn't carry anything because the angels had to grab him by the hand and drag him out. So he wasn't even carrying anything. He literally had his clothes and his daughters. That's it. His wife turned into a pillar of salt, as we just read, but he lost his other two daughters. He lost his sons-in-laws. He lost his houses. He lost his goods. He lost all his cattle, lost his gold, his silver, everything utterly destroyed and burnt up. Not only has he lost all that, he then lost his peace because he feared to dwell in any city just in case that city was next in line for destruction. So from dwelling in a tent in God's will, being abundantly blessed, Lot chose to live in the world and he ends up in a cave, holed up in fear. What a downfall. The sad story doesn't end there though. You read on and you'll see that sin abounds in that cave and Lot's life gets even lower, even though you think it wasn't possible after the price that he's already paid, but it does. And as a result of Lot's choices in life, even though he had a wonderful example, a godly heritage, everything going for him, Lot ends up becoming the father of nations that will be perpetually at war with God's people. And he's forever recorded in God's word as a soul saved, but a life wasted. When you think about Lot, you read the whole Bible before you finally come to the point where you realize he was a righteous man. The whole time in Genesis, you never would have thought that. But it wasn't until you get to Peter where you go, oh, Lot was saved, Lot was just, Lot was righteous. That's sad. Hopefully our life won't be that. And that one day at the end, hopefully our lives as we live it is a living testimony of Christian service to God, that people can look at us as we're living and say, he's a child of God. So what will you choose tonight? And that's pretty much where it's at. You're going to choose either the ease of the plains of Sodom, the well-watered plains, or you're going to choose to live separated with God like Abraham did. Thank you.